If I were to title this message this morning, I would call it The Vanity of Religion and the Fruit of Faith. The Vanity of Religion and the Fruit of Faith. Because you see here, as you go into the book of John, and you can see it in the other Gospels as well, that the Jewish people had their own religion. As I said, we used to have one here in this United States. Many people would say that we still do. But religion is vain, folks. It's useless. It gets you nowhere. But true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will, obviously, bring salvation, will bring a life that pleases the Lord. We see point number one, that the Jews were very, very publicly religious. There was no question in their mind. I mean, religion is woven into, or at least it was in those days, woven into the fabric of their own civic life. They were publicly religious, and they were good at guile. And that's why, as you go back to John chapter 1, and let's do that quickly, please. Where we see in verse 46, and Nathanael saying unto him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" The Lord replies in verse 47, when he sees Nathanael coming, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in which there is no guile, in whom there is no guile." Why did he say that? Because the whole characteristic of the Jewish religion, the whole characteristic Jewish men in those days, not just men, but the whole society, was that they were slick. They were slick. Now you might say, well, they're still slick today. Well, we'll leave that one, okay? But they were slick. They were good at guile. Paul mentions it a couple of places later on in the New Testament. But the Lord himself did not approve of this kind of guile. And what do you mean by guile? As I said, they were slick. They were good at portraying a religious people. Now, of course, none of that goes on here in the United States. Yeah. Right? Any of you tune in the conventions? I'll admit they were pretty, they were difficult to watch at times. Both of them, actually, for different reasons. But if you did, you saw them open the conventions with prayer. Now, I have no idea who those individuals were necessarily that opened those conventions with prayer, and the cameras didn't pan around, but I wonder, as I watched that, and I did watch both of those, that much of it at least, I wonder how many of those delegates were sincerely praying. I wonder how many of those delegates knew the Lord. My best guess, particularly on the one side, would be not many. But we still have a public religion in this country, don't we? At least in many cases. As you know, the House of Representatives, the United States Senate, are open publicly with prayer. I hope that the people who are praying really mean it. I hope they do. Sometimes you wonder some of the stuff that comes out. But the Jewish people were very religious in their culture. They had their own way of doing things, and unfortunately, as we see here, it was characterized by guile, slickness. Could we dare say, in some cases, hypocrisy? I think so, and we'll see that in just a moment. Now, Paul, as I mentioned, he mentioned that guile was not acceptable. Now, these guys had their own religion, but if you want to look quickly in Galatians, you see that Paul himself was involved in the Jewish religion. Galatians chapter 1, what does Paul say? Galatians chapter 1, he says, "For you've heard of my conversation and my manner of life in times past in the Jews' religion." So he recognized they had a civic religion, a slick one, a guileful one. He was part of it. He was part of that life. What did that consist of? Well, again, we can find that out from the scriptures. Back to Matthew. Sorry, I hope your fingers don't get worn out trying to moving. If you've got arthritis like I do in your fingers, it'll probably do you a little good to keep moving. But Matthew chapter 15, I think, is a very clear exposition, really, of exactly what the Jewish religion was all about. They were publicly religious, oh yes. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 1. "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which are of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders?" That's my emphasis. "For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." And he asked them the question, verse 3, that is the Lord, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" And then the issue comes up about honoring your father and mother and so on and so forth. They had found a very slick way. I hate to keep using that word. What would you say? A guile way, perhaps? A very clever way. That's what that's the way the Africans would say it, meaning guileful. A very clever way of getting around the commandment here. They say, okay, we'll declare that this thing that we're giving to the temple and so on and so forth is a gift, and therefore we don't have to honor our father and mother, we don't have to take care of them, because we've given all our assets to God. Sounds very spiritual, doesn't it? Sounds very spiritual. Is it? No. The Lord knocks it down. He says in verse 6, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God now of none effect by your traditions. You hypocrites. Verse 7. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you saying, and of course there's a quote then from Isaiah. What had they done? They were operating their civil society with this layer of clericism, if you will, clerics on top. Sound familiar? Look at Iran. But anyway, they've got this layer of people on top that were operating it, but what they had done is they had superseded, replaced, if you will, the Word of God with their own tradition. Folks, I did not realize for a number of years just how extensive this tradition was. When I was in seminary, I was in Washington, D.C. I went to Capitol there, which is no longer there, but in any case, I went to Capitol, and one of the things we had to do was write a thesis. Well, in Washington, D.C. is the best, or at least the largest library in the world. It's called the Library of Congress. Some of you have heard of it. Probably most of you have. I was down there doing research for my thesis, and I one day was trying to do some work in the Hebrew text, and I walked into the library there, and I asked, I said, do you have this particular Hebrew writing? And the guy said, you know what? He said, we have a whole building. Which is dedicated to nothing but Jewish writings. He said most of it, he said very little of it is in English. It's almost all in Hebrew. And he said we've got a section for biblical Hebrew. We've got a section for medieval Hebrew. We've got a section for modern Hebrew. He pointed to the various rooms. Rooms that were bigger than this auditorium, by the way. Full of all these writings. Folks, these guys were writers. Maybe not so far back as here. But there's a very, very, very extensive Jewish tradition. And it's, as you can see, it's already started here. What they have done then and what they have done since is they have superseded, they have replaced the simple scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures that we have translated in English in front of us, with their own tradition. They've got their own civic religion built on their own tradition, their own interpretation. This is what God has said according to the rabbis, the Pharisees, and all of that group. And that's what they have done. They were very publicly religious, but they have their own system all nicely systematized, and it eliminates following Moses. And that is what the Lord is criticizing here. He's saying, you guys are nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. Politically, publicly, oh yes, very religious. Faith, well, now that's another case. They had faith, oh yes, but they had faith in their own traditions, folks. Just like a lot of people today in the United States have faith in our democratic traditions, we have faith in our Christian traditions, if you will, and it isn't enough. It isn't enough. Now, as I said, we're going into multiculturalism. We're moving away from a Christian tradition. Nothing wrong with being publicly religious. The Jews were. But it didn't help them. Religion is vain. Faith will work, however. Faith will work. And that, of course, point number two is what they lacked. Jewish religion lacked real faith. Now, I mentioned very quickly that quote in Isaiah, but let's go back to Isaiah chapter 6 and take a look at it as is actually stated. Isaiah chapter 6. What happens when you don't have faith? What happens when you're trying to follow a tradition? When you're trying to follow religion? Well, simply this, spiritual blindness. Let's take a look here. Isaiah chapter 6, we'll pick up in verse 9. And he said to Isaiah, go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. What happens when you turn from the truth? Folks, you get progressively more and more and more blind. The New Testament shows the result. Think of Nicodemus, and we'll go back there to John chapter 3. I don't think I understood this for many years, but I do now. John chapter 3. Nicodemus, according to chapter 3 in verse 10 of John, he says to him, "Are you a master?" Or actually, the Greek text reads, "the master of Israel, the teacher of Israel," and you don't understand these things? What is it that Nicodemus didn't understand? He didn't understand Ezekiel chapter 36, which says, "You must be born again." Not quite that simply, but that's basically what it says. He didn't understand when the Lord is telling him, "You need to be born again." He says, "How? How can that happen? It's not possible. You can't be born physically twice." He didn't understand. And the Lord said to him, "Well, why not? Why don't you understand?" I'll tell you why he didn't understand. Because of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. It said they were judicially going to be blind. Now, did Nicodemus ever come to an understanding? I think he did. If we were to take the time and look at chapter 19, I think he did. But we know from what Paul said in Romans chapter 11 and verse 25 that blindness in part has happened to Israel. Folks, Israel was judicially blinded and have been and continue to be blind until this very day. Why? Because of the lack of faith. Information is wonderful. Civic religion is fine. But if you don't mix religion with faith, if you don't have an understanding and say, "I believe what God has said," instead of believing a bunch of tradition, a bunch of baloney in many cases, then frankly, all that's going to happen to you is you're going to get more and more religious and more blind. Read Romans chapter 1. Truth turned away from results in blindness. I wonder if that's what's happening or has happened here in the United States. I don't know. The Word of God does not say so, particularly the United States is not part of the New Testament in that sense. We are not God's people in that sense. We are not. But I wonder if that's what's happening. We're getting more and more blind as we're turning away as a nation from the truth. Tell you what I've observed in my 70-odd years is that the pace of blindness, or so it seems to me, is accelerating. We're not only blind, we're getting more blind more quickly. I cannot explain some of the actions that are taking place in our judiciary and in our laws and in our behavior culturally, other than that, I don't know. But blindness then ultimately, of course, leads to foolishness. It did here in the New Testament. Nicodemus pointed it out in chapter 7 and verse 51. He said, you won't listen to this guy before you judge him. And of course, they missed the blind man in John chapter 9. And finally, of course, what happened? They crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, and I won't point it out, he said, "You know not what you're doing. You Jews don't know what you're doing." And they crucified the Lord, for the most part, in ignorance. They didn't know what they were doing. Folks, we have a lot of people that are turning away from the truth and becoming more and more blind, and they don't even know it. We see it in the New Testament. That's what happened to the Jews. Religion, as I said, is vain, it's empty, it's foolishness. But true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will work. Now today here in the United States, we've got a new religion, and it's called tolerance. Everything is okay. I'm okay, you're okay. You have your truth, I have my truth. It's also called postmodernism. Some of you have heard of it, which says there's no absolutes. Your truth? Fine for you. I have my truth, which is fine for me. Is that the right thing to say? No. No, no, no. The Word of God presents absolute truth. It hasn't changed. It won't change. Lying was wrong 4,000 years ago. It's still wrong. Adultery was wrong 4,000 years ago. It is still wrong. And on it goes. There are absolutes. There are absolutes, and the Word of God presents them. But the more you turn away from those absolutes, the farther you get away from the truth, you'll find that the pace, the downhill slide, if you will, gets more and more rapid. Frankly, I'm glad that I am my age, because maybe I won't live long enough to see the ultimate destruction of what is going to happen here in the United States if we do not turn as a nation. But it's not going to be pretty. It already is looking pretty nasty. But it's not going to be pretty the farther and faster that we slide. And that is what is happening. Because religion, civic religion, any religion, doesn't work. It simply doesn't work. But true faith, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that works. And that's my third point. It's found in Jesus Christ. Now the Jews, and let's go back to John chapter 5. The Jews believed the scriptures. Otherwise, the Lord could not have said in John 5:39, search the scriptures, because there would have been no reason to. It's interesting to me that poll after poll is taken here in the United States. We find that there's still, not by much in some places, there still seems to be a majority of people that believe the Bible. They just don't practice it. But there does seem to be a faith in an absolute scripture. And of course, the Lord and the apostles, all of them believed in the scriptures. Even today, if you were to stop the average Jew, he would say, yeah, yeah, I believe that. And the Lord is pointing them to him. Here, let's read. He says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. You mean to tell me the scriptures don't have eternal life? They do if you take the next clause. He says, and they are they which testify of me. Scripture is good. Scripture is God's word. But scripture without faith profits nothing. Profits nothing. Scripture points to the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing in God, as I hear some people say, frankly, folks, isn't enough. You say, why is that? Well, read the book of James. What does he say there? He says the devils, actually the King James translates the devils, it could be translated the demons as well. The demons believe in God. They do. Muslims believe in God. They do. The wrong God, to be sure, I suspect Allah is, well, that's another story. But Allah is certainly not the God of the scriptures. There's no question about that. Anybody who says that Jehovah God and Allah are the same, one and the same, simply doesn't know their Bible. I'll just put it to you that way, because they are not the same. Nowhere even close. They are not. But demons, of all people, believe in God. But that's not enough. Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what it says. Doesn't say believe in tradition. Doesn't say even believe in North Hills Bible Church or Pastor Moss or Bruce Bush or anybody else. It says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Faith is the missing ingredient in our civic religion today. Faith is the missing ingredient in the Jewish approach here. He says, you search the scriptures, you look at the scriptures, you think you're going to get to heaven by doing them. He says, but they point to me. They point to me. Let's read on. He says, the problem is, you will not come to me, verse 40, that you might have life. He says, I know you, verse 42, that you have not the love of God in you. He says, I've come in my Father's name, but you will not. It isn't a question, folks, that they could not. It is a question of they would not. And I put that question to you this morning. Will you, not can you, but will you come to Christ? The problem that we have in the United States here, in my judgment anyway, as far as I can see it, is not that people don't hear. It's not that people don't know in many cases, but they refuse to come because their lifestyle, because of all the things that they are and they have and they want to be, runs right smack into a personal faith in Jesus Christ. If they come to Christ, if they come to Christ, all of that is going to be ultimately condemned. It's not that they cannot come. It is that they will not come. And the scripture points out that if they do come, if they're willing to come, that they can live then a life that pleases the Lord. I am frankly, and have been for quite some time, thoroughly distressed in my own little street there in Lebanon. We've got a number of believers there, people that are going, people that are sound Christians. Some of them go to our church. Others go to two other good Baptist churches in town. But my neighbors on either side of me are Catholic. And I cannot, for the life of me, we have invited those people to church. We have talked to them repeatedly. We have taken cookies to them. We've given them tracts. My wife is a one-lady evangelistic team, practically. And they still persist in their religion. Why? Obviously, they think they're okay. They think they're okay, and maybe that's where some of you are this morning. You think you're okay. Folks, I don't know your hearts. I don't know your hearts. I don't know what's going on in your life. I have no idea. But I know this, that religion, coming to church, keeping all the commandments, doing all the other things, isn't enough. If it's not mixed with faith, it is zero. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. These people could come. They had the living Lord. Imagine this. They had the living Lord standing there right in front of them, and they still would not come. I wonder what it would take for some of our people today to come. I wonder if the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to some of our political candidates, what their reaction would be. I do not know. He's not going to do that, but it's very plain. It's very plain. The scriptures are plain. If you want to have life, come to Christ. Some could come, and they won't come. It's too hard. It upsets their life. Repentance? Nah, not going to happen. They say, me? I'm this, I'm that, I'm, you know, whatever. Well, doesn't matter who you are or what you are. You can come to Christ, and I would encourage you to do it today. You say, well, I've got too much going on. You don't know what's going on in my life. No, I don't. I don't care. I know from the president on down, everyone who would come to Christ will be saved. Will you come today? Will you? I'm praying you will, because that's the only place that you're going to find life. Religion is vain. Religion is vain, but true faith will save you, it will keep you, it will give you a basis for a life that you will not find any other place. Let's pray. Father, we rejoice in your goodness to us. And while sometimes we wonder why it is that you place us and have placed us here and what our plans are and what we should be doing, we know that first and foremost we have to trust Christ and follow him. So give us grace this morning. Father, if there's anyone here that has not trusted Christ, they would do that this morning before it is ultimately and eternally too late. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a song here, but I'll be here after the service. If you need to come to Christ, if you have a matter that you need to discuss, I'll be here. The elders are here. We'd be glad to talk to you. Thank you so much.